skal ikke se Rally Jersey.
Nej, Rally Jersey.
Just for the record, I apologize. The chef's name is Sheikh Dawood Yassin. I don't know why I slipped up, but I apologize for that to the audience.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity for us to, alhamdulillah, gather on this day. It's a blessing, alhamdulillah, just the opportunity of life to have another day, which represents another opportunity to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and another day to pray another fajr, to read Surah Al-Kahf, complete the other sunan that happened specifically on the Jumu'ah. The talk that I want to just give briefly in this time that we have together is a concept that all of us engage in, but perhaps we can begin to think about it a little differently, which will in turn enhance that action, inshallah ta'ala. So Abu Ishaq Ibrahim ibn Adham, he was born in the year 100 Hijri, and he died in 165 Hijri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was a king in a land by the name of Balkh. And Balkh is modern day Afghanistan. So he gave up his position and walked away from it and went to Damascus. And he is one of the first scholars of the Ummah to codify, if you will, or bring together this idea of what we call tazkiyah, purification of the heart. And he engaged just in manual labor for the rest of his life. And that's how he earned his money. He traveled to Damascus to work with some of the spiritual masters there. The interesting thing is that I feel that he, may Allah be pleased with him, that he gave up this worldly kingdom for a spiritual kingdom. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to give up for a spiritual kingdom? How much are we willing to sacrifice? He was known for his nasiha, for his giving good counsel to people. So a group of people came to him, and they asked him concerning the ayah of Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, that they asked him about the ayah in Surah Al-Ghafir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call upon your Lord, or your Lord says, call upon me and I will answer you. Call upon me and I will answer you. Very straightforward ayah. And the people asked him that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our du'as are not answered. And he said, I want to tell you 10 things. He said, first, you know Allah, but yet you don't obey him. Second, he says, you recite Quran, but yet you don't act according to it. Third, you know Shaytan, yet you have agreed with him. You say you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet you have abandoned his sunnah. You say you love paradise, yet you do not act to gain it. You say you fear the fire of hell, yet you do not prevent yourselves from it. You say indeed death is true, yet you have not prepared for it. You find faults with others, yet you do not look at your own faults. You eat that which Allah has provided for you, but yet you are not grateful. You bury your dead, and you do not take lessons from it. So these 10 points that he laid out here, he's showing you what? He's talking about hearts that are dead. But he's just giving you examples now. So we can look at each one of these, and perhaps we find some aspect of this list that is a reality in our life. May Allah rectify our situation. And I didn't come here to just kind of drop this wet blanket on everybody and make them uncomfortable by mentioning these 10 points, but rather for them to be a mirror in which we will put ourselves and our lives and our actions right in front of us. And we have to deal with them, because that's courage. Courage is to look at the faults that are inside of ourselves and have the willingness to change them. Whether they change or not, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reality. But if we continue to work towards them, that's all we're asked for. What is asked of us is to work, and the outcome is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And given the generosity of what we know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith, where he says that when my servant takes one step towards me, that I will come running towards him. Meaning that the effort that we make is not commensurate to the reward that Allah will give. You give a little, Allah gives a lot, if I could say that. But what I want to say is, this verse here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Rabb, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, Allah didn't say وَقَالَ إِلَهُكُمْ وَقَالَ مَالِكُكُمْ, He said وَقَالَ إِلَهُكُمْ وَقَالَ نَعْمُ وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ, He said your Lord says. Now the interesting thing the scholars said about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Rabb here and not Ilah, which is the Ma'bud, the thing which you worship, or the Malik, the one who possesses it, because Rabb by its definition has a meaning of compassion that is more prevalent than the other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Rabb is the one who brings us up in stages. The Murabbi is the teacher. And normally it's a teacher of children that gives, if you will, manners and adab to our children, but does it with compassion. So what they said, the scholars said, was that because you know this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know that there is this relationship of compassion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will turn to that name of Allah seeking this reward because you are already used to receiving from Him. You're already used to receiving from Him. Now what I thought was very interesting is that a contemporary scholar was asked the same question, same ayah. A group came to him and said the same thing. This ayah, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدُعُونِي أَسْتَجِيبْ لَكُمْ, we ask this, but Allah doesn't answer our du'as. And he said in their question, they said, we frequently offer supplications, but they are not accepted, but the verse is general. It states that every supplication is answered. And the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he said, to answer is one thing, to accept is something quite different. This is the point that I want to make here. The ayah says, call on me and I will answer you. It doesn't say, call on me and I will accept. So now let's look at this difference of what he expands on here, or what he clarifies for us. To answer is one thing, to accept it is another. Every supplication is answered, he says. However, as for what we ask for being accepted, and exactly what we seek being given, is dependent on the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at Al-Hakim, the All-Wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're dealing with Al-Hakim, the wisdom, that wisdom, the definition, if you will, the one who possesses Al-Hakim, one of the scholars has said that Al-Hakim, the definition, the one who possesses wisdom, wisdom is the equivalent to knowledge of superior things through the highest modes of knowing. Through the highest modes of knowing. Now when we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're talking about Al-Aleem, why is it only that Allah can be Al-Aleem? Because the scholars have said, ما سبقه الجهل. He was not preceded by not knowing something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not preceded by not knowing something. We don't know something, we learn it, therefore we are an alim, we are not al-alim. So we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're talking about a comprehensive knowledge, which means what? It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya'lamu ma kan, wa ma yakun, wa ma lam yakun, lo kan. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. We're dealing with Allah. Allah knows what was, what is, what will be in the future, and He knows what was not, were it to be. Allah knows what was not, were it to be. Allah knows that job that you didn't get, what would have happened in your life were you to get it. Allah knows that sister that you wanted to marry, you didn't marry her. Allah knows what would have happened in your life were you to marry her, and He chose otherwise for you. Allah knows that raise that you didn't get, that you were so hopeful for, of why you didn't get it. That's knowing what was, were it to be, and it can only be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now let's think about that for a moment now when we talk about our dua. Because we have to ask ourselves the question, are we certain that every single thing that we ask for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beneficial for ourselves? I can tell you right now myself, I can answer that question as no. And that's why I became Muslim. I know the lifestyle that I was living 26 years as a non-Muslim was not beneficial to my soul, nor my body, nor my intellect because of choices that I would make. But when you come to know your Lord and you come to know yourself, then you'll understand what the reality of things are. So you can answer the question. Allah asks in Quran, very basic question, or actually not, it's a statement in Surah Al-Baqarah when He says, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum, wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum, wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun." That's our answer right there. Allah says in Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, very clearly, perhaps it is you detest something and it is good for you. And perhaps it is that you love something and it is harmful, detrimental to your life. Allah knows and you know not. So now we have to think about this. Al-Mujib. If we're looking at this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to our supplications, to our du'as, you deal with the hikmah of Allah. You're dealing with the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's deal with His name, Al-Mujib, the one who answers the prayers. Right? He answers them by assisting them. Right? Knowing the plight of the poor and the needy, and knowing that reality before the one even asks for it. One of the things that we have to get very clear with regard to our dua is that we are not reminding Allah of something that we are in need of, that He's forgotten. Hasha lillah. We are not reminding Allah of something that is absent in our lives. So therefore we think, why isn't Allah giving this to me? Do you know what is exactly perfect for your life? No. How many times have I put myself or others in jeopardy from decisions that I have made? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. Alhamdulillah. That reality then brings us to another verse. When Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَدَلَّهُ اللَّهُ A'udhu billah. Have you not seen the one that has taken as his Lord his desires? So Allah has led him astray. So imagine that every single thing that we ask for, that Allah gave it to us. What would our life look like? The analogy I think about is these past 2 weeks, all of my children have been sick with the flu. All of them. Fevers and stomachs and all of the things. So if my child asks me, can I, Baba, have an ice cream sundae? Chocolate sauce and whipped cream and cherries and peanuts and sprinkles and all of these other things on it. And I tell the child no. Because I'm acting on a knowledge that the child does not have in terms of how that food will be detrimental to them in their state of sickness. So now it's based on a knowledge that I know, that they do know not. Allahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you know not. So we have to be satisfied and content with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to our du'as, and we have to put our trust in that subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything that I am given is a blessing from Allah, and everything that is held back from me is a blessing from Allah. That's the reality. And then we begin to have a different understanding of shukr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when that becomes the reality. We only have a few minutes left here. But I want to say that we should be very careful of the state that the heart will enter into, that when we're not receiving something from dua, that we think that Allah has forgotten us. Hasha lillah. Wa aqrabu ilaykum min hablil warid. He is more close to you than your jugular vein. Allah does not leave us. We distance ourselves from Him through acts of disobedience, from ghafla, from being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not leave us. We leave Him. So in that state, when we're asking and we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have some sort of transactional relationship, and this is what is so amazing, one of the scholars said, he said, be thankful that every time you raise your hands and ask Allah that He doesn't give you something. Because what will happen is that you will flip the relationship where you are the Lord and you make Allah your servant. A'udhu billah. Because I ask for something, where is it? I made dua for that thing, where is it? As if somehow you're obligated to that thing. So by not having it is a protection. Not having it is a protection. And having it is what we call tawfiq. Tawfiq comes from wafaqa. Wafaqa means what? Means to be in agreement. So tawfiq in your dua is when the thing that you are desirous of and the thing which Allah is desirous of you, when you receive it, that's tawfiq. The two have met now. Everything else is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of why it didn't happen. I'm going to close out with this. Du'as are answered in three ways, and we can't let shaytan trick us in this. Du'as are answered in three ways, the Prophet ﷺ said. The first is that du'a is what you make du'a for is answered, and you're given it in this world. I said, and that's tawfiq. That's tawfiq. The second one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents some sort of tribulation that would have afflicted you. And the way that I think about this is that if I'm in my house and I'm asking my wife, where are my keys? I have to get to class, I have to get to campus, where are my keys? I always put my keys right here on the hook and now they're not there. Where are they? She's telling me, did you read Surah Al-Duha? Because we should read Surah Al-Duha when we leave something, lose something. This is a sunnah the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. And I'm looking for my keys. I'm asking my children, you take my keys. My daughter likes to play with the keychain. Do you have them? No. I'm looking around for them. Now I'm delayed about 5 minutes, 7 minutes. And as I drive down the hill, I see the police and I see a flare out on the road. And I see one car that ran through a stop sign and broadsided another car. And now that person is injured and smashed up and perhaps in a state when they will leave this world. The fact perhaps that my keys were not found and delayed in that time is an answering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of my du'as. That a tribulation that would have afflicted you, and that's now when you get into latif, the subtle. You don't even understand or know what's going on and you're being protected. We don't even understand or know what's going on and our du'as are being answered. And the third one, the last one, we'll end with this, is that the Prophet ﷺ said that du'as in the third way, that you are given in the akhirah what you ask for in dunya. And when I studied this with my teachers in Damascus, they said, when the human being sees what they asked for in this world, and it was manifested for them in akhirah, they will wish they never received anything in the dunya. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith Qudsi, عَدَدْتُ لِلْعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٍ رَأَتْ وَمَا لَا أُذْنٍ سَمِعَتْ وَمَا خَطَعَ لِبَالِ أَحَدِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made which no eye has ever heard for His righteous servants. Allah has created in Jannah which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has not even been on the consciousness of anything of His creation. That's what's waiting in Jannah. So anything that is held back from us here is a mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq for the things which are beneficial from us that He grants us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manifest for us the best in the next life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.